Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show number 114 of Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast about all aspects of intercultural communication. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. In this show, we're going to go to the UK and China to find out about opportunities for learning more about intercultural communication. We'll be meeting Richard Wood, one of the founders of Verge, a cross-cultural communication company based in Hefei, China.
So just people with an interest and a desire to learn, but no real opportunity. We're trying to, I don't know, bring people to the world and try and bring a little bit of the world to some of the people that just, especially in a city like Hefei, just don't have that opportunity yet.
We'll also be meeting with Adrian Pilbeam, who runs two courses to help people get started in intercultural training. And if you're lucky, you can get these for free.
You can get most of the cost of the course funded and all of the cost of travel and accommodation coming to the UK to do the course funded.
On our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, you can find the links to all the people and organisations we mention in the show, and you can also let us know what you think. So let's start with the main topic of this show, which is about how you can get a solid grounding in how to do intercultural training by attending one of 2 5-day courses, which is usually held in Bath, England, but has also been held in other countries by special request. I talked with Adrian Pilbeam, one of the main instigators of the course and also one of the main facilitators, about what you can learn in 5 days. Let's be absolutely trained.
That's right. One of them, called Developing Intercultural Training Skills, which is a 5-day course. Originally, our idea was trainers with a background in foreign language teaching, but as it became better known, it's attracted people from other backgrounds with training backgrounds, but not necessarily in language. They could be in communication, in management, and you know, related soft skills anyway. Mm.
So these tend to be people in companies who do these courses?
No, the vast majority are, I would say, are freelance trainers.
So it's a 5-day course, and you're really starting from the beginning over the 5 days, aren't you? Right, you don't assume much prior knowledge.
No, we assume a certain amount of, well, obviously an interest in the field, and ideally some intercultural background themselves, which could be personal in that they've lived in different countries or their parents are from different countries. They've worked in different countries. It's actually fairly rare that someone doesn't have that kind of international background to some extent. Very often they're living and working in a country other than where they are from. Mm.
And so you start, well, pretty much at the beginning, and what you're trying to get people to do is you're trying to get them to incorporate intercultural communication in their own training programs, is that right?
Well, two objectives. That's the first objective, to enable people who have an interest in this field. Maybe in very many cases they've been dabbling in it a little bit, to give them a bit more content and theory, and also how to put that theory into practice. In the training they currently do, which could be language training, could be communications training on things like negotiations or effective meetings, that sort of thing. But also to go further than that, and a lot of people have the objective that they would like to be able to offer intercultural training as a standalone product.
Mm, right. Okay. So this helps them to design their training programs.
Yes, it gives them the basic tools, and they go away with a toolkit, so they can at least they can start designing and putting together and selecting materials and coming up with ideas for materials and activities for different kinds of intercultural training. I mean, they don't go away as fully proficient intercultural trainers by any means, but they have a much, much better idea of how to proceed. Or in some cases, people already have quite a bit of experience, and it's a kind of benchmarking exercise to help them to, for example, they may have picked up a lot of ideas and bits and pieces of knowledge over a number of years, but it's not a kind of, there's no uniformity to it. There's not a whole, they don't have a sort of wholeness to their knowledge of the field.
Yeah. And do you ever hear what happens to these people? Do you ever get any feedback about how they put what they've learned into practice?
Yes, we do, actually. We're in regular contact with a lot of the people who've been on the course over those 5-6 years. We mail them afterwards 6 months later to see what they're doing, what they've done with it, and how they're, and whether, for example, looking back from the course now, is there anything they'd like to have done on the course that they didn't do? So that can give us some feedback, not just at the end of the course, because at the end of the course, people are not so sure about what was relevant, what was not, but maybe 6 months later they've got a better idea of it would have been nice to have done this or more on that. So there's that. And then people we meet people at the things like CETAR conferences in different places, bump into them and they say, oh, I'm now doing this or I'm doing that. So we haven't done a kind of research project on what exactly people are doing, but we've certainly had quite a lot of feedback, both anecdotally and through emails and so on, as to what people are doing.
And the second course, if we can just talk for a couple of minutes about that, this is a development of the first course, so you're actually going into more detail about designing and delivering intercultural training.
Absolutely. That one came about as a request from many of the people who'd attended the first course, saying it would be great if we could do something as a follow-up in 1 or 2 years. So we, last year, we started offering this follow-up course. We canvassed. That was another reason to get in touch with a lot of people to say, well, we're planning to do this. Do you have any kind of any suggestions or things you feel you'd like to see in it? And one of the factors was that, so one of the things people said, we'd like something to be 3 days. So what we've done, we've designed a 3-day follow-up called Designing and Delivering Intercultural Training, and it covers those two areas. We've also added a 2-day extension, which is to go into more depth on individual projects that people want to work on designing and delivering, so they can extend and do more work on what they've done in the first 3 days. And so it's a kind of hybrid, which has worked very well. So some people, either for cost reasons or time reasons, decide that 3 days is fine, and other people feel, if they're going to make the effort to come to the UK, think, well, we'll come for the full 5 days.
And I can see you do go into much more depth there. For example, there's one topic here, possible learner resistance to intercultural training, which I imagine is something that needs to be dealt with in some cases, and establishing credibility. This sounds like very meaty stuff.
Yes, it's for people who, you know, what kind of situations might you encounter, have we encountered, that, you know, that you have to find an answer to and on the spot, and those are two of the things. You know, people, you know, sometimes they've been told they've got to go to the course, but they're not convinced it's really worthwhile. Mm. So how do you get them on side?
The need for intercultural training is a growing one, especially in the economic powerhouse, which is China. So for my next piece, I contacted Richard Wood, one of the founders of Verge, a cross-cultural communication company based in Hefei, China. Richard's company has come up with the idea of comfortable communication. So let's get absolutely comfortable and find out what that means.
name's Richard Wood, and currently living in Hefei, which is the capital of Anhui Province in China. And I'm working for a company called Verge Cross-Cultural Communication, which is an enterprise that I'm one of the founders of, I suppose. The idea of comfortable communication, I was discussing it with my business partner, I suppose, a Chinese lady. She has been to Britain and she studied cross-cultural communication as a master's degree in the UK. We're talking about it, and we happened across this concept when we looked at, sometimes you're in a cultural situation and you feel uncomfortable. So our aim is to remove that feeling of not knowing what to do, not knowing what to expect when you're in a multicultural or in a situation which is alien to you in cultural terms. We thought comfortable communication it's got a nice feel to it, because even if you don't know anything about the company, at least, I don't know, just I can't really describe what the feeling I get when I think about it, but it's got kind of a free feel to the communication, and comfortable in the sense that people have the knowledge that they can feel confident when they're in these situations. That's our ultimate aim, and we do that by language training is one of the first steps, and then cultural awareness training. We're developing a few different styles of that for different age groups and for different needs, language needs, and specifically looking at some business cultural training, which is actually a growing business here in China, not necessarily in Hefei. I know in Shanghai there's a lot of people looking for this kind of stuff, but it's very top-end prices and really specialized services. We want to bring it to more people. It's not something that only people with lots of money can have access to, just people with an interest and a desire to learn, but no real opportunity. We're trying to, I don't know, bring people to the world and try and bring a little bit of the world to some of the people that just, especially in a city like Hefei, just don't have that opportunity yet.
It's obvious that there is a huge potential demand for this sort of training. And if you like the sound of the course which Adrian Pilbeam was offering earlier, then if you're based in Europe, there's even more good news, as Adrian's courses could be absolutely free.
There's one thing in the notes that you sent me which I thought was rather wonderful, and that is that if you are a trainer in adult education in Europe, you can actually get this course funded.
Absolutely. You can get most of the cost of the course funded and all of the cost of travel and accommodation coming to the UK to do the course funded, provided you're not already living in the UK. In that case, because the course takes place in the UK, you have to attend a course in a different country from where you live.
Well, I think that's great, actually, because I'm a great fan of the Grundtvig courses, and I would encourage anybody to go and have a look at the wonderful range of courses that you can apply for. And I had no idea that your course would be on that list, so that's rather nice.
It is. I mean, when we started, we'd never heard of Grundtvig, and I think maybe it was early days, I'm not sure, but a couple of people turned up who had got grants, and we asked them, well, what is this grant? And then we discovered that we could apply to have our course listed or registered on the database, so we did, and that's how it came about. We have a second course, which we, for various reasons, we haven't listed on the database. But that can also be funded. A course doesn't have to be listed to be funded. You just have to apply for a course if it meets criteria of being in another country, being professional development, being 5 days in length. That's one of the factors, minimum 5 days. Then you can apply for a grant. You may not get the grant. Not everyone gets the grant. There are various factors involved. Mm. One of which is signing the form, which some people forget to do.
And if you're in any doubt that intercultural training might be a good idea, then you should take note of this cautionary tale from Richard Wood of Verge. Here he is describing an example when he was absolutely uncomfortable.
You give me an example, perhaps from your own experience, when you experienced something that made you feel uncomfortable and that with a little bit of help could have been more comfortable for you?
I have a Chinese girlfriend who we've been together for 2.5 years. And at the beginning, I had a few difficulties with the family, not through lack of willingness on either side, but the first was a communication barrier. So I stepped up my efforts to learn Chinese and made great improvements. But the other was the cultural barrier. For example, a very small, but for me and for them, now we've discussed it, issue was at the dinner table. And I believe that food, cuisine, and dining culture is really important. I would go to the house for dinner, or we'd go to a restaurant. And in China, they, as a host, they like to give the guest the best food and to put the bits they believe are the best into the bowl of the guest, so they don't have to serve themselves. And as you're aware, in the UK, when you get something given to you, you have to finish it. Mm. But then in China, if you finish it and you finish everything, the host would feel embarrassed that they haven't supplied enough good food and you're still not full, so you're not satisfied. And then it will reflect badly on them and their family. So they would continually give me food. And I'm thinking, if I don't eat this, then they're going to feel like I'm rude and I don't think their food is good. So I would finish my meal and be so stuffed that I literally was not in pain, but I was in slight discomfort. And they were amazed that I'd eaten so much food, and then the next time they would try and prepare more. And eventually we talked this through, and I was like, hang on, I asked, and I said, am I supposed to finish all the food? And I said, no, you eat as much as you want. You don't have to force yourself to eat. And I was like, but in the UK, we have to finish everything, otherwise it's rude. And they're like, what? That's strange. Oh, no. And we had to come to a compromise where they would try and put less food onto my plate, or they would just recommend me continue eating, suggest I eat the chicken or the beef or something. And then I would have to learn to say, I'm sorry, I'm full. It's really good, but I literally cannot eat anymore. So thank you for your dinner. Just a small thing, but it didn't have a major negative impact on anybody. But the not knowing just is a bit strange. As soon as we both sides knew about it, then the main thing is the acceptance of the other person's habit, or the other culture's habit. So if they know that I'm going to try and eat, then at least there's the awareness that they can take into consideration when deciding whether to give me more food. And with both sides doing it, we've come to a really good conclusion now. And this was probably the first time when I noticed such a stark contrast, the really small one, but that shows a great difference between the two cultures, and it motivated me to find out more and to try and explain the culture more, because until you're in these situations, you take your own culture's subtleties for granted a little bit, and until you find out it's different, you don't know that that's something unique, or maybe not exactly unique, but something different about your culture to the one you're living in.
Mm. We'll be hearing more from Richard in a future show about how he trains his Chinese students to avoid these uncomfortable situations. In the meantime, I hope that you're on your way to comfortable communication. You may be pleased to know that this is absolutely your last chance to vote for us in the European Podcast Awards, as voting closes at the end of July. Go to our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com to find out how you can vote for us on either the German page or the Danish page. Unfortunately, we have no way of knowing how well or badly we're doing, but I would like to extend a big thank you to all those of you who have already voted for us. You can leave us a comment about what you liked or what we could do better, on our website, and you can also make a suggestion about who or what we should feature in future shows there. The next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laurent Borgmann on August the 6th. So until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.